Guys, give it up for my wife. Isn't she awesome? She's awesome. If you don't know she's awesome, she's awesome. Let me just tell you, she's awesome. She don't like me doing that, but nonetheless, we'll do it anyway. Amen. We're starting a brand new series this morning. It's titled Faith, Hope, and Love. The essentials to Christianity, right? This is what we should be modeling in our lives. And we want to start off in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. So today we're going to be talking about faith, all right? And so anybody know what faith is? That's right. Good. So just to read it the way the Bible says it in Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11 defines faith as this. This is the New King James Version, so it might be a little different than what you're reading right now. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I can go out into this parking lot this morning, and I can hopefully believe that my car is still there, right? But it doesn't take much faith, right? Because I'm pretty sure that my car is still there. That doesn't take faith at all. Whereas if I go into the same parking lot and I look at that eyesore of a building back there, and I believe that somehow, that some way, that God can move in such a way where he can restore that building and use that building to bring some good into the community, then that takes faith, my friends. And especially if you know the situation and you know who owns it, you would say that takes incredible amount of faith. Yeah, to believe that. Amen? And so that's a totally different level of faith. That takes faith. Going out there and believing that my car is there, that might take faith too, considering the area. But nonetheless, this building would require faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for this morning? What are you believing God for? You haven't seen it yet. Maybe you're praying for the prodigal to come home. You haven't seen it yet, but you're still believing. You're still holding on to that. What are you hoping for? If faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it yet, but you're believing God for it. Amen? And so you might be saying, God, I even fasted, you know, these 21 days. And you were hoping that you would see the answer within that 21 days. And you haven't seen it yet. I just want you to keep hoping in things that are not seen. Keep believing that God is able to do abundantly and above all that we can even ask or think. Because sometimes we fast and we're like, God, I fasted. You know, why am I not seeing the breakthrough that I was wanting? Just keep believing. Keep having faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we see that this idea of faith is connected to hope. And I don't want to talk about hope too much because we're going to talk about hope next week. But faith is connected to hope. And so we're going to look at a story in the book of the Bible in which this man is commended for his faith. And he's commended for his faith by Jesus, not by any other person, but by Jesus. And so we're going to look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. It says this, and when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. So first of all, let's talk about this man right quick. This man, this centurion. A centurion was an officer in the Roman Empire, if you will. And so he was over between 80 and 100 people. And so he was a man of status. He was a man who had worked his way up by being loyal, by being dedicated, by showing leadership. And so he was, if the Roman centurions, they were vital. They were a vital part of Rome's way of conquering territories. So if you're familiar with that and how they conquered all these different territories, the centurions were, you know, they played a big part in that. And so they were in charge of between 80 and 100 people. That's a big responsibility. Have you ever been in charge of 80 to 100 people? And so this is their capacity. But they had risen to this through their leadership. And by the Jewish standards, the Jews didn't like them because Rome was it was kind of like the empire that was ruling at the time. And so these centurions were seen as officers who were upholding the Roman law, and the Jews did not like them, all right? Much like you might not like getting pulled over for for speeding, by the Roman police. But nonetheless, they are executing the law. They are, if you sped, I'm probably talking to myself, and if you sped and you get pulled over by the police, then they are executing that law, and they have all authority to do so. I guess y'all wonder, did you really get pulled over? I did. And so it's crazy, right? The speed limit, it was 55, and then all of a sudden it drops to 45, and that's where the guy was right there. I mean, he was right there waiting for me. I'm like, oh, praise you, Jesus. This is what we wanted. But nonetheless, so this centurion, he was representing the Roman Empire. He had worked his way up. He was a centurion. He was hated by the Jews. He was the backbone of the Roman army. And he was a Gentile. Okay, and so a Gentile, if you're not familiar with that term, was anyone who is not a Jew. So you can look at your neighbor and say, Gentile, 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 probably Gentile, and probably Gentile, right? All of us are Gentiles. Nonetheless, the Jews and the Gentiles did not like each other either. So as you can see, the Jews are very, they didn't like anybody, I mean, besides themselves, because they figured they were God's chosen people. And so they had an air about them, you know, that they were picked by God. And everybody else was beneath them, okay? And so these are the Jews, and these are the Gentiles. And so we continue. It says in verse 5, it says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Now, one of the first points I want to bring out is that faith requires humility. This was a Roman centurion. Over 80 to 100 people, but look at what he says. He says, Lord. He calls Jesus Lord. So there's a couple of things about this situation that we have to unpack. If he is Lord, then he is above the centurion. If he is Lord, then this centurion sees something in Jesus that he does not have. And so whenever man did not have the answer to heal his servant, whenever the centurion didn't have the answer to make his servant whole, he finds someone with the authority, someone who has greater power than he has, and he calls him Lord. So if we want God to move in our lives, if we want to have the faith to believe that God is able to do abundantly and above all that he can ask, first, we must, as a centurion, humble ourselves and say, I don't have the answer. My efforts have failed. My efforts in trying to restore myself and heal myself and mend myself, my efforts have fallen short. This servant is still unwell. And if you look at the King James Version, it is he says that he was sick of the palsy. And what that means is that he didn't have feeling in his body. He had paralysis in either some of his body or most of his body. And it's often equipped it with a lot of an intense pain. So you have this guy who's nobody can do anything for him. The doctors couldn't make him whole. The centurion says, you are Lord. Now, this is a Gentile calling a Jew Lord. He's seen something in Jesus. He recognized there is something great about Jesus. Now, before this, we see also in the same chapter in Matthew that Jesus healed a man who was a leper. And Jesus tells him, he says, look, stretch forth your hand. And as he stretched forth his hand, he was made whole. And so perhaps maybe the Roman centurion heard about this, or maybe he seen it, he witnessed it. And there was enough faith to rise up within this man and says, if anybody has the ability to make my servant whole, it's Jesus. He is our only hope, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. So faith requires a great deal of humility. He admits that I don't have the answer. And we have, you know, a lot of times, how many times though we will try and try and try to bring about our answer ourselves, right, to fix our own problems? And the Lord's just like, would you just surrender that thing to me? Would you just allow me to be Lord in that life, in that particular situation? But yet we try to, like, fix ourselves. And we try to, and we wind up making a bigger mess than what we had originally. Just acknowledge him as Lord. Surrender that thing to him. So he continues. He says, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. So not only is this man has the sense to realize that Jesus is Lord, he is a pretty compassionate man where he is sympathizing with his servant. He's like, my servant is suffering. Look what Jesus says to him in verse 7. He says, and he said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, the verdict has already been established. Jesus has already determined that this man is going to be healed. That was the verdict. That was the outcome. It's going to happen. If Jesus said it was going to happen, it was going to happen. Amen? And so this man's faith in realizing who Jesus was, that he had the answers to his problems, brought about a healing in his servant. Jesus had already determined, I'm going to your house and I will heal him. But this man, he has such incredible faith. We see in the next verse what happens. He says, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. Now, that is outstanding. That is amazing, because up to this time, we haven't seen a remote miracle like this. You know, we live in a day where we have GPS satellites, and we can send an email from here to the United States, and we can pray and reach someone who's in Africa. And I'm so grateful for this. My wife, she has this kind of faith. She's like, I believe that God is able to, reach someone in Africa even whenever I pray over here. During the 21-day fast, we had this little map inside the prayer room, and she put a star by every single city that she prayed for. And by the end of it all of Africa is all covered, because why? She has the faith to believe that God is able to reach someone in Africa even whenever I'm praying for them in Houma, Louisiana. And so this centurion has the same type of faith. He's like, I believe that God can reach this person, my servant, even though I'm right here and he is over there. I believe in remote control miracles, right? That all he has to do is say the word and it's going to take place. Now, this kind of shows and illustrates that he understood hierarchy. He was, again, a Roman centurion, and so he had a certain level of authority in his life. Whenever his superiors tells him to do something, then he realizes he has that authority to carry it out. Whenever the Houma police pulls me over for speeding, they have all authority to do so. They have been given a badge that gives them permission to execute the law. And so if anyone offends or breaks the law, they have all permission and all authority to carry out that law and write up the pastor for speeding like in Body Gardens. So he has all authority to do that, right? And he was totally right to do that, because I was speeding. I was wrong. He has all authority to do that. This Roman centurion totally understood that as a Roman centurion, I can tell those soldiers who are in my group, go and do this, And they do it. The most amazing thing. He understood it so much that he says, the Lord, Jesus, if he tells sickness and disease to go, then it has to go. And if he tells them even remotely while he's in one place and the servant is in another place, guess what? That word will still be accomplished. That's how powerful our Lord is. That's how powerful the word of Jesus is. So then that should change the way that you pray. That should change the way that you have faith. Believing that God can touch your loved ones, even if they are living in another state, even if they're living in another country, that they are not too far out of reach for God to get a hold of their lives. Amen? That God is overextending, that God reaches the entire planet. He created it all with his voice. So there's no one outside the reach of God's arm. Amen? So do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that your prayers can reach someone who is on the other side of the world? Amen? We look at Jesus' willingness to heal this servant. And even though this was a centurion, a Gentile, and the servant of a Gentile, Jesus was willing and more than willing to go and venture and heal this man. But what we see in this is that faith, the faith of this centurion, it extends beyond limits. Amen. That your faith, I pray that you would have faith that extends beyond limits. Sometimes we tend to limit God. We tend to say, oh, well, God can do this and he can do that, but surely he don't care about me. And we limit God. We put God in a box. Here's a box. We say, God, this is all you can do. You can provide for my salvation, and I'm so grateful for that. But then we don't really truly believe that God is able to heal your brokenness, heal your broken body, to reach your children. Do we really believe that? Or are we just kind of limit God to say, God can only do this little box. We're going to put God in a box. That's what he can do. We don't say that, but we act that way. We act whenever it's real and in front of us, we go to fear and we go to worry and we forget how big our God is. We forget that he is the one who spoke all things into existence, that he spoke and planets were formed, that he spoke, boom, and there's a winter storm, amen, and he spoke, and there was the sun to warm us up from this winter storm. He's a powerful God. Amen. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small for our God. And he loves you with an unconditional love, and he delights in the prayers of the righteous. Amen. How many times do we just let circumstances just bog us down and rob us from having faith in him? So the first recorded remote miracle is about to take place, where Jesus speaks a word and the servant is going to be made whole. Now, let's look at another aspect of this verse where he says, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Does that rob us of praying prayers of faith? Our feelings of unworthiness? Our feelings like, God, I don't deserve that. God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm this. God, I'm that. Is healing about, you know, is it brought about by your worthiness? Or is it brought about because of Jesus and his goodness and the cross and the power that he reigns in? You know, is it because of we are worthy? No, it's not because you are worthy. None of us are worthy. If we're looking at our lives, if we, you know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we have sinned. We have messed up. None of us are worthy. But you know, the beauty of the gospel is this, is that even though Jesus knew the centurion's unworthiness, even though he knew that he was a Gentile and he had been excluded from all Jewish communication, Jesus says, I will go to your house and I will heal your servant. He reaches beyond our unworthiness. He says, I know you're unworthy, but I'm coming to you anyway. I know all the sins that you have done, but I'm coming to your house anyway. I'm coming to make you whole. I know you feel unworthy, but he's the Son of the living God. Amen. So our faith is not based on our worthiness, whether we feel worthy or not, whether we feel like we deserve God to answer our prayer or not. None of us deserve any good thing. But he gives it to us anyway. He gives us salvation anyway. He gives us grace anyway. We don't deserve any good thing. It's not based on our worthiness and feeling, you know, sufficient in ourselves. It's based on his sufficiency in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why did he feel unworthy? This was a Roman centurion who had worked his way up. He had status. He had all these things. Perhaps he seen himself as the Jews seen him, as a Gentile. You're excluded. He realized his own sinfulness. But again, the gospel, Jesus is always reaching out towards those, the unworthy, the outcast, and he makes us whole. So faith is not based upon your worthiness. It's based upon Jesus. Amen. It's based upon the work that he has done. Whenever Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't deserve any good thing. But you know what Jesus did? He forgave them. He forgave them. They were the enemies of the cross. They crucified our Lord and our Savior, but yet he forgave them. They didn't deserve forgiveness. They deserve to be killed as he was. Jesus, he gives us what we do not deserve. He says, for I too, verse 9 says, for I too am under a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. That is a remarkable statement to be made about a Gentile, an unbeliever, a person not associated with the things of God. But yet Jesus, in the same line, he commends him for his faith while reprimanding the Jews for their unbelief. Because Jesus came to the Jewish people and many of them rejected him as the Messiah. They rejected him as the Son of God. Many of them could not see that he was the promised one that the Old Testament prophets talked about. They couldn't see, and he was walking right in front of them. But yet this Gentile comes along and says, you are Lord, and you have authority. You have kingdom authority. When you say something, it happens, and I believe in your authority. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that there is nothing too big for you. And so Jesus, he commends this Roman centurion. What faith you have. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Now, you think back about their journey, the Israelites. If anybody should have had faith, it should have been the Israelites. Their ancestors, you know, God brought them out of Egypt. That was a powerful act in itself. How he hardens Pharaoh's heart, but then in spite of that, he delivers his people out of Egyptian slavery. He brings them through the wilderness, miracle after miracle after miracle. He brings them into the promised land, allowing them to conquer their enemies. But yet we find Jews who are lacking faith. we find a Gentile who received Jesus with great faith, and he is commended, and the Jews are reprimanded. So in this, we see something very serious, that Jesus takes unbelief very, very seriously. Let's look at it as we continue. He says, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Verse 11 says, "I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So what is he saying? He said, look, there will be many people who are coming outside of Israel who will be in the kingdom of God. Why? Because of their faith, because they believed in Jesus, because they realized that he is Lord. But then he goes on to say, while the sons of the kingdom, he's referring to the Jews and the Israelite people, he says, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a very real consequence to not walking in faith, to not walking in belief. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, that doesn't sound like a good place. I don't want to go there. I want to be with God's people. I want to be with people of faith. I want to be with him. I want to be with the Lord. The centurion, verse 13 says, and to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at the very moment. What a powerful, incredible story this is. And so when we reflect back on the scope of this, we talked about faith. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What are you hoping for this morning? What are you believing God for this morning? You don't see it. But do you still have the faith to believe that God is able to do it? Or have you lost hope? Have you lost your faith? You know, so much time has gone on, and your prayers have gone unanswered, and so you lose faith. You stop believing. You stop believing that God is able. I'm here to stir up your faith this morning. I'm here to cause you to believe again, to put your hope in him again, to trust in him again, to have faith again. What is faith? It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I'm believing it. I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to the promises of God. Amen. Faith requires humility. We come to the Lord, and we see that we are unable to change ourselves. We are unable to do anything really without the Lord. And so we come with humility. We confess him as Lord. And when we put our faith in him, we have the faith to believe that it his power and his authority extends throughout the earth. That you can begin to pray for those around the world, even your lost loved ones, maybe who are in other states, other parts of the country, and you can believe that God will move on their behalf. We realize that faith is not based upon our worthiness, but it's based on the cross. Amen. It's based upon Jesus and what he has done for our lives. We realize that faith, it prays with authority. Do you realize that? Do you realize that faith prays with authority? That the same power and authority that Jesus operated in, that he gives to you? That you have the ability to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. You have if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, the Bible says that you can move mountains and have them cast into the sea. That you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That you can pray a prayer of faith and believe. Why? Because you have been given all authority. In a, you know, when you think of an ambassador, An ambassador is a person who represents a government, and they speak on behalf of the government. They represent them, right? And so, you, in a way, you are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and you have been given that badge or that authority where you can speak things because Jesus is living in you. If Jesus says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, the same will bring forth much fruit. Amen. And so knowing that same authority is living on the inside of you, that you have that authority to declare over your household, to declare over your children, you're going to be a man of God. You're going to be a woman of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you declare those things, and you speak it with authority. Amen. Because it has been delegated. That's one thing about authority. It is delegated. It comes from the king and is delegated to his centurions, his guardians, his officers, his warriors, mighty warriors of God. Amen. That authority is delegated to you. So you begin to rise up and you speak with that authority. You don't let the enemy keep kicking your tail over and over again. You begin to rise up with the authority that Christ has given you. And you declare what the Bible says about you and about your family. Amen? And you speak it and you believe it and you hold on to it even though you don't see it. That's what faith is. And then faith believes God for the impossible. We don't want to have limited faith. We don't want to put God in a box and say God can only do this. There's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. He can do all things. He can do all things. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this word. And Lord, we are praying for an increase of faith. Help us, Lord. Lord, to have an increase. You said all we need is the faith the size of a mustard seed, oh God, and we can move mountains. I pray that you would increase our faith today. Even if we have not seen the answers that we are hoping for, even if we have not seen the situation move in a way that we were hoping it to move, God, we will still believe. We will still trust. We will still have faith. Lord, we will not be discouraged. We will not give up. We will not throw in the towel. Lord, we will continue to have faith, an incredible faith at that, oh God, because you are Lord, and you are Lord of all things in heaven and on earth. There is nothing that is not submitted to you. All things are submitted to your hands. All things are in your control. So, Lord, we stand in that. We stand in that authority that you have granted to us. And we begin to look at our situations and our circumstances, and we declare the word of the Lord. We declare the word of the Lord that the prodigals are coming home. We declare that in Jesus' name. We declare that bodies are being made whole. We know what the doctors say, but I'm standing on the word of God. I'm going to believe that God is a God who still does miracles. I'm believing that God is a God who still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. And if you're battling with depression and you're battling with fear and anxiety, we're going to declare the word of God. We're going to stand strong. We're going to have faith. We're going to believe God for incredible things. Perhaps your faith has been too safe. You haven't really prayed anything big or anything, you know, bodacious prayers because you're afraid to fail. You're afraid that God will fail. God does not fail. I think it's more of you're afraid to fail. Lord, today increase our faith. Lord, that we would believe you for greater things. Lord, we have settled, many of us have settled for less than what you have intended for us. And that can be mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We settle. We let the enemy dictate to us who we are and who we're not. But Lord, today we rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we declare by faith those things which are not as though they are. We will believe, oh God, even though we don't see with our eyes. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Would you say that with me this morning? Increase my faith. Increase my faith. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives, in this place. Help us to have the faith like Moses when he's looking at that Red Sea and he raises that staff and the seas are pulled back and the God's people walk across dry land. Help us to have that kind of faith. Help us to have the faith like David when he's looking at Goliath and he takes that stone and he slings that stone and it hits him right between the eyes and he falls to the ground and takes out giants. We want giant killing faith. So many examples in the Bible give us faith. Like Esther, as she was called for such a time as this, and she was a person who stood for the Jewish people during a crucial time in her life, in their lives, when their lives were at stake. But yet she rose and she had faith and she believed God. Give us faith, oh Lord. Increase our faith. Forgive us of our doubt. We might have moments of doubt, but if we're bombarded with doubt, if we are overwhelmed by doubt, that is not what you have called us to. So, Lord, we just cancel all doubt right now in the name of Jesus. We cancel all fear right now in the name of Jesus. We stand in that authority that Christ has given us, and we cancel those things right now in the name of Jesus. God, give us faith. Lord, we thank you, and we love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Before you leave, would you just throw down the lights just for a second? I want you to, I just believe there are some people in the room, it's a very specific thing that you're believing God for. And you could walk out the doors and say, oh, God, let me have faith, like very general. But God wants to do a very specific thing. What Ted did not tell you about my crazy Africa story is when I was in my 20s, there was a banner. We went to church, and there was a banner. If you grew up in church, you know they used to make banners, and they would write these banners, and it was in Psalms. It said, ask of me, and I will give the nations as an inheritance. And I was young. I was in my 20s, and probably, like, you know, in the middle of worship, I'd just be like, okay, God, I'm going to ask you for the nations as my inheritance. Just praying a prayer of faith. Okay, Lord, just do something. You know, I don't even know what, God, you want to do, but that was just my prayer for years, 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 and years. I just would pray that prayer. And if you know our story, in my 30s, we were unable to have children, which would seem like a lack of faith. But then through the mercy and the grace of God, God gave us the nations as our inheritance when I turned, 36 years old? I don't know. Let's just say 36 years old. And I've sort of been living in that miracle. It's an incredible miracle. Like, we got prophesied that we were going to have four kids. That day that we adopted four kids, someone spoke a word that said we were going to have two boys and two girls. It's an incredible faith-filled story. And we can live off of the faith of yesterday, but God wants us to walk out in fresh faith today. And so I was telling that story to my kids, and they're like, yeah, Mom, great. You know, ask the nations. Well, you're the nations. Get it? You're from the Philippines. And so I was trying to, like, make it real for them. And they were super excited. And but then the Lord just impressed on my heart, Tara, like, your faith stayed there. And I worked there. But your faith needs to move on And so here's what I want you to do. And I felt like the Lord impressed on my heart again in faith that I was going to go and put a star on every city in the whole country. Y'all, Africa's big, y'all. And so, and to speak the name of Jesus and declare over that city in Africa. Because it says, ask of the, and I'll give the nations as your inheritance. I don't even know what I'm praying for, but I just know that there are some people in this room specifically that God has asked you to step out in faith. And I believe that God has given me as a gift of faith. I believe Ted has a gift of healing. I believe the Lord has given me, one of my giftings is incredible. Sometimes just the Lord will move in faith. But I just think there's some people in the room, it's very specific. The enemy's been attacking in a certain way over your family. You need to rise up in faith. The enemy's been saying stuff over your mind. You need to rise up in faith. There's been, like Ted said, a diagnosis. You need to do this for yourself. Like the centurion, he said, oh, I know who Jesus is. My faith isn't in my faith. My faith isn't, oh, if I prayed enough or if I fasted for 21 days. My faith is in who Jesus says he is. And so this morning, I want you to do this before you leave, and then you can leave. If that's you, and there is a specific thing that the Lord is speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit right now, would you stand to your feet and just say, hey, that's me. There's a specific thing that God is asking you to step up and out into faith. And you are saying, okay, Lord, my answer is yes. Would you just stand to your feet? You can bow your head, close your eyes. It doesn't matter. Just stand up right there. Somebody else in the room, it's you. It's like, hey, that's me. There's a faith. This is a moment. This is like the Africa moment for you, that you're believing God for something that is big, that you haven't seen movement yet. And the Lord is just saying, will you be like the centurion? Will you believe that the word that he spoke, that Jesus spoke to the centurion, is the same word that he will speak to you this morning? Anybody else in the room? I just believe there's just a moment that God is saying, this is the time to believe, to walk out in faith. Anybody else in the room? This is very specific. I'll give you one more second, a couple of seconds. Now, that thing might be so enormous. It might be so big. You've not seen any movement yet. But what we're going to do is we are going to cry out together to God for that thing specifically, okay? So we're going to use our mouth. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you heard the word of God this morning, right? You heard what God did for the centurion. And so you've heard it. Hopefully you've been encouraged by it. And now you can say, okay, God, you did it for the centurion who was a Gentile, an outsider. And now, Lord, you can do that same thing for me because I'm your kid. And God gives good gifts to his kids. He's not like us. And I even get good gifts to my kids. He is better. So here's what I want you to do. If that's you and you're standing up, I want you to just lift up your hand, just a sign of surrender, maybe a sign of faith. Maybe you're even in your mind just saying that thing, whatever that thing is. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's the enemy keeps on attacking your family in a certain way. It is time for it to stop. And the authority of Christ is on your life. So you can sit there and let it happen to you over and over again, or you can say, God, that anxiety is going. And you're going to, your faith, not Pastor Ted's faith, not my faith, your faith in who Christ says he is. That's what we're going to declare. You ready? Okay, here we go. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, I am standing up in faith for this situation in my life. You already know it. And I am humbling myself before you. Just like the centurion, I know that you have all authority. And I know that you have all power. I know that you rose Christ from the dead. And today I believe that that same faith lives on the inside of me. So I declare with my words that this situation is handled. Because it's yours. And I give up all control. And I am believing you, God, for healing and purpose and life to be restored, just like you did in that servant's heart and in his life. I thank you, Lord, that you were bringing healing and that you were bringing purpose into that situation. I have my faith set on you, the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now walk out the doors in covenant faith, my friend. And when the enemy comes, you say, no. I'm believing in faith what Jesus has already said. We love you guys. Join us at a small group and y'all.